The Psychedologist.
Hello. Thank you for tuning in to The Psychedologist. Today I'm going to read you an article, the full version of an article I wrote for Double Blind. You can find the one that was published in Double Blind in the link in the show notes. The full version I will publish on my website at a later date. For now, you can listen to it. I call it Where Land-Based Healing and Addiction Recovery Meets Psychedelic Ceremony. As a child, I spent a lot of time outside communing with the beings of the forest floor, the endless sky, the riverbank, the garden. Those were my friends and family. Lily of the valley, fluffy clouds, chickadees, dandelion, pine, warm rain showers, hydrangea, clover, tiny mushrooms, soft grass, sandy soil. As I grew older and school became more demanding and family and friendships became more complicated, my relationship with nature withered. The first time I ever tripped in my early 20s, I watched my sorely neglected houseplants grow, blossom, and die, grow, blossom, and die in an endless cycle. The beauty made me cry. I recognized how separate I had become from the cycles of nature and our planet. I saw that my suffering was connected to this loss. Lila June, Indigenous musician, scholar, and community organizer, speaks to our interdependence with an irrevocable belonging in the natural world. She says, quote, "There is a word in my language, Hosho. Hosho is the joy of being a part of the beauty of all creation. When we understand that humanity is an expression of the earth's beauty, we understand that we too belong. Hosho understands that we have an ecological role. Hosho understands that our Mother Earth needs us. When we become her friend, her confidant, her ally, her partner in life, instead of her dominator, her superior, or her profiteer, we can transform dead systems to living ones. This does not involve isolating national parks and never touching a blade of grass. No, it involves rolling up our sleeves, living within her processes, becoming a part of the Earth's system, as we were born to be, and using these minds to protect and augment life on a holistic, regional scale. If our ancestors around the world proved this possible, then it gives us hope that we can do it again." End quote. Psychedelic and plant medicine journey work often shows me how I am part of something greater than myself. While there is so much focus on healing ourselves in the modern psychedelic discourses, I still have questions. How can we engage in the healing process in a more holistic way? Not only looking to heal ourselves, each other, or heal the planet, but to heal the relationship between us. This section is titled, What is Land-Based Healing? Land-based healing engages people in a reciprocal relationship with the natural world. In this paradigm, it's not about what we are getting for ourselves, but what we are giving and receiving in connection with the earth. According to the International Journal of Indigenous Health, land-based healing is a culturally defined practice, program, or service that takes place in an urban, nature-based, rural, or remote location on a land base that has been intentionally, spiritually cultivated, honored, and respected. The land is situated as firmly relational within an indigenous pedagogy and is understood to be an active partner to the person or people engaged in the healing process. Steps are taken to identify how an individual or community's relationship with the land, self, and others has been disrupted and how best to help renew this relationship. This has also been referred to as land-based intervention in the literature. Nalaga, also called Avis O'Brien, is a Haida Kwakwak artist and land-based cultural empowerment facilitator. Her lived experience surviving the impacts of Canada's attempted and ongoing colonial genocide, then turning to substances to cope with the trauma, eventually led her to land-based healing. Now she teaches in the medical system, training physicians and medical professionals to reimagine a healthcare system that addresses the root of our problems rather than just employing band-aid fixes. I've lived with the spirit of suicide since I was 10 years old. Land-based healing is how I am alive today, she says. It's how I have healed a huge amount of my trauma, how I've reclaimed my Indigenous identity that was stolen from me. Land-based healing has helped me to renew those parts of myself, to stay on my path of recovery from heroin addiction and alcohol that I was using to cope. Land-based healing has been around for time immemorial, though it's only in recent years that it has been given a name. Avis says she didn't really know what it was when she was engaging in these practices, such as sweat lodges, cold water submersion, cedar brushing. She said, I was engaging in ceremony. It's only in the past few years that land-based healing has become more of a buzzword. According to Avis, land-based healing is for Indigenous people by Indigenous people, though non-Native people may be invited to participate. An Indigenous person whose culture it belongs to must be open to sharing it, and participants should follow their protocols. Land-based healing has not been formally studied through a Western medical lens, though numerous studies indicate the tremendous physical benefits from related practices, such as forest bathing. Known as Shinrin-yoku in Japanese, forest bathing involves taking in a natural setting through our five senses, opening us up to deeper connection with the natural world. Forest bathing reflects how our Indigenous languages were born, how our cultures were born, says Avis. Everything was born from the land, by sitting with the land, listening, opening our senses. Land-based healing presents the opportunity for an intentional return to right relationship with the natural world. Jessica Patron, LPC, an ecotherapist, shares about how right relationship is a gateway to be in such right relationship with self and with others. She says, it is a remembering of holistic wellness on every level, and how nurturing to and giving to the earth, even as simple as through appreciation and gratitude, is just the same as giving to ourselves. The intentional act of giving to and receiving from the land is at the origin of our species, although so many cultures and mainstream society have strayed so far from even the acknowledgement of this, let alone the practice of it. Even before psychedelics began to enter paradigms of Western mental health, many of us have known that the mainstream approach to therapy is lacking. Cultural political writer Andrew Solomon summarizes a Rwandan's account of his experience with Western mental health workers who came to his country after the Rwandan genocide in 1994. Their practice did not involve being outside in the sun where you begin to feel better. There was no music or drumming to get your blood flowing again. There was no sense that everyone had taken the day off so that the entire community could come together to try to lift you up and bring you back to joy. Instead, they would take people one at a time into these dingy little rooms and have them sit around for an hour or so and talk about bad things that had happened to them. We had to ask them to leave. The clinical model for psychedelic therapy, involving a single person with one or two therapists in a closed room, wearing headphones and eye shades, is not necessarily the best treatment for everyone. What might happen if we integrated land-based healing with psychedelic ceremony? This section is called Integrating Land-Based Healing, Addiction Recovery, and Psychedelic Ceremony. Safa, a first-generation Persian Canadian, grew up in Nanaimo, BC, one of the epicenters of the overdose crisis in Canada. McKenna, a Hawaiian American, was raised in Hawaii and Arizona. Both overcame addiction through the intentional combination of plant medicine and holistic practices. Together with Maestro Ricardo Amaringo, they started Sacred Rebels Recovery. Sacred Rebels is no ordinary addiction treatment center. It is located 1 hour outside of Iquitos, Peru, and is Indigenous owned and operated by Peruvian Shipibo curanderos and peer led by a mix of North American Indigenous and multi-ethnic people with lived experience of substance addiction. In addition to working with ayahuasca and other traditional Shipibo plant medicine ceremony work at Niwewerao Centro Espiritual, Sacred Rebels Recovery Residential Program. In Sacred Rebels Recovery, clients and retreat participants can engage with the natural world through permaculture and land-based healing practices. Safa has been working with individuals at all stages of healing from addiction since 2015. He believes that community is the most essential part of the recovery journey, along with peer-led programming, holistic health, land-based healing, wise mentors, wise friends, meditation, diet, and physical exercise. He says, we, people with lived or living experience as drug users or people in recovery. We have been muted for a long time by bureaucrats and medical professionals who lack firsthand personal experience with addiction recovery and often view us as unqualified to conduct the life-saving work we are engaged in. Peer-led recovery and programs bring meaningful experience to the table and allow for people who have lived experience to be involved in the recovery process for others. When asked about how plant medicine can support people on a recovery journey, Maestro Ricardo Amaringo, who has faced his own challenges with substance abuse, shared, "Ayahuasca and the master plants heal people because they help people see their wrongs and give them the ability to correct them, while at the same time allowing them to make peace with their traumas and find peace in themselves. People who have suffered from the use of drugs can recover, but they must be willing to surrender and begin living a new way of life and work with the medicine to clean the negative energies and blockages caused by their life and addiction." Safa and McKenna aim to bridge the gap for those in recovery who are new to psychedelics and connect people who are working with ayahuasca on their healing path. Safa shared, "Land-based healing abroad adds a layer of adventure to the experience and an opportunity for the individual to be away from the city or town they used drugs or alcohol in for an extended period of time. They also get the chance to experience a different culture, art, spirituality, and way of life. Their time away gives the family or closest care of the individual seeking treatment a break, an ability to create healthy distance to allow space for healing on both sides. Seeking treatment internationally can also be more cost-effective while providing legal access to treatments such as ayahuasca-assisted therapy." McKenna spoke to me about how powerful working with the medicine can be in addiction recovery. "She takes you to core traumas and allows you to see them," she said. "I think that a lot of the time, in the Western approach, that piece is missing, or it might take years to get to. The medicine can take you right there and allow a different kind of healing to go down. For me, combining that with the land-based healing approach has been equally as important. It's kind of like my version of meditation. In our society, we're very much in our minds. Working with the land is where I can quiet my mind and step into my body a bit more. Something really magical happens, at least within me. It's where I go to find answers and guidance." About the benefits of combining land-based healing and psychedelic ceremony for addiction recovery, Avis said, "Trauma lives in the nervous system. It is not cognitive. It lives in the body and it needs a place to be released. You can't talk your way out of it. That's where psychedelics come in, allowing you to access where those traumas are stored in the body. When you reach those wounds, you need a place to release it, and land has the ability to release traumatic memory that gets stored in the body. I know this from lived experience. The land has taken from me the things that no longer serve me." Avis believes that land-based healing and psychedelic ceremony, facilitated by skilled people who can guide you through and hold space for whatever comes up, will provide opportunity for people to access those parts of themselves that they can't without the psychedelic medicine, and provide an opportunity to give that to the land. Avis also sees healing potential in cultivating and eating the food and medicine grown from the land. She said, "A lot of the food that we eat is toxic, so growing food is wellness. When I eat salmon that comes from the rivers that my ancestors have eaten since time immemorial, that is wellness." Sacred Rebels is collaborating with the local indigenous community to create access to essential food items and gainful employment for residents of the village Yanchama. Their long-term intention is to nurture systems that support food sovereignty for locals in the area and to cultivate food forests with native foods and medicines to feed the people who live there. They are cultivating native medicinal plants such as chacruna, ayahuasca, bobinsana, and more, as well as working on sustainable and regenerative systems. According to Safa, the land used to be a farm about 20 years ago, probably for animal agriculture, as a dam was put across a naturally existing pond. They have restored it to its natural state. Sacred Rebels is now considering a permaculture project for the pond. Gamitana, a large piranha that resembles a bass, is a popular food source that has been depleted due to commercial overfishing and drought as a result of climate change. La Amazonia, a biopharma agricultural technical university focused on ecological conservation and plant science, may collaborate with Sacred Rebels to raise a few thousand fish in the pond and then introduce them into natural habitats to replenish the population. Some that reach full maturity could be harvested and offered to the local community as food. The revenue generated from treating people at Sacred Rebels Recovery will go into continuing to advance the permaculture operations, plant more trees, and do more community development. They are also looking into what it would take to build water towers for the village Yanchama. For tens of thousands of years, entheogens have been used by humans in sacred and ceremonial ways. Communion with the natural world is oftentimes an integral part of the medicinal ritual. Many traditions and nature-based peoples use these medicines to connect with and understand more deeply the forces and elements of nature, says Jessica Patrone. She goes on to say, I find that there is such a beautiful and supportive relationship between working with psychedelics and communion with nature. And in my experience, the combination of the two is exponentially profound. Through my own experiences and through the sharing of others, one common thread I have witnessed that weaves these two worlds together is through working with the psychedelics and plant fungi medicines, most individuals feel their innate relationship to and appreciation for the natural world expand and deepen. While climate change worsens as a result of human activity, perhaps more psychedelic therapy and retreat centers will begin incorporating nature relationship into their treatments. I hope that more conscious and equitable collaborations between Western and Indigenous peoples can take place to heal the relationship between ourselves, our planet, and the more than human world.
The Psychedologist is Consciousness Positive Radio. Find us everywhere podcasts are hosted. For more information, visit us on Facebook or online at thepsychedologist.com.